Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bjork.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we will explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. If you're looking for something different, if you have a desire to live a life that's more than what you're currently experiencing, if you feel stuck, or you're experiencing health concerns, or curious about ways to improve your life, this show will give you new perspectives and steps to change your life. Today we're going to be talking about several concepts, promises or agreements that you can make with yourself that when used together can really change your life for the better. In 1997, a book was written by a man by the name of Don Miguel Ruiz, I think is how you pronounce that last name. And it was called The Four Agreements, a personal guide, or a guide to personal freedom. And over the years, I've taught this concept to so many people in classes and in parts of classes, and they really are life-changing. One of my clients used to read the book every year. At first, she read it every month to really make it sink in, because what you focus your mind, your attention on, and you get more of. And she really wanted to change her life. So she did that and still reads it every year. The first part of the book is really imperative, and it sets the tone for the rest of what we're going to talk about today. From the moment that we're born, we learn from those around us by repetition, right? That's how we learn the ABCs. That's how we learn everything. Multiplication tables, if you remember learning those. And as we're young, we learn behaviors, we learn beliefs, we learn all those concepts the same way. We learn rules that are good, you know, like don't touch the hot stove, don't cross when it's red, or, you know, that type of thing. So we learn all of these things, and they're called domestications. And some of them are good, and some of them are not so good. Some of them keep us safe. Some of them are just what our particular family believes, what our culture believes, what our town believes, that type of thing. But they happen before the age of 7, most of them. Before the age of 7, how much control did you really have over your life? I'm guessing not too much, right?
Not much. Yeah. And how much do you actually remember?
Right. When those same concepts are repeated over and over and over again as we grow, we tend to just believe them because these are our parents, these are our families, these are our teachers, these are, you know, people that we trust. And yet, you know, some of those things, over 90% of those things that we are taught, we still struggle with today. We've never really taken the time to understand whether we really believe them or not. So these are the unconscious beliefs that hold us back, that make us feel guilty, that keep us feeling less than or not good enough. You know, back then we learned what good girls looked like, what bad girls looked like. We learned all of these things, and they kind of stuck with us. They are ingrained in what we believe. So let's talk, Michelle, let's talk a little bit about more domestications.
We had in our family the sentence, people like us.
Ooh.
Right?
Ow.
People like us never, or people like us do. And so there was a generalization of, we will never be rich. We will never look like that. We will never do those things, right? And so that's a verbal one. And so you hear that and take it as truth. Like, oh, never is a pretty powerful word.
It is.
I mean, that's a forever word.
Well, and so is that sentence, people like us, because
yes,
it's a limiting thing. Very, you know, putting you in a box and nailing that lid shut.
Right. And then not knowing to question that or knowing differently, you sort of then create those scenarios, and make those choices that keep you in that box.
Absolutely.
And that's what domestications do, right?
Yeah.
They narrow your field of possibility.
Right. In my family, it was on one side of the family, there were a bunch of us that were the same age, you know, within 2 years of each other on either side. And whenever we grew up going to the farm a lot, and whenever we'd ask if we could do something, the four of us, the boys could and the girls couldn't. And when we asked why, because I would always ask why, it was, well, because you're girls. And that to me was like, that is not fair.
I had that also and not always verbalized. So it's those things that actions or just because you're not allowed to do something, even when it's not said. I grew up on a farm and I wasn't, per my mother, allowed. She didn't want me on the machinery because she thought that was too dangerous. Yeah. And she didn't verbalize too dangerous for a girl, but it was okay if the boys my age were on the machinery, you know, that was okay, but it was never spoken why that was okay. And if you didn't ask, you didn't know. And so it was this underlying thing of, oh, I'm a girl. I'm not capable, for one, of doing those things, or I'm not good enough or smart enough, fill in the blank of what you believe at that point or what your imagination leads you to believe at that point of why you can't do that.
Right. And there came, you know, that women do certain types of jobs, men do another, right? And we've seen in my lifetime, I've seen that really drastically change over time. As you're growing up, there's another thing that really has issues around it, and that's the issue of grades. For some families, it's, you know, it's okay, it's not an issue, it's not a thing. But for others, it's you need to get good grades. Some people even reward their child if they get, you know, you get $1 for it, or $5 for every A, $4 for every, you know, and so on. And in my practice, I have seen one woman said that not only were grades important, but if she didn't get the highest grade, there were consequences.
Ouch.
So even if she got an A, if she didn't get the highest A on that test, on that paper, whatever, there were consequences.
What does that say to you?
Right. Totally, it says I'm not good enough unless I do X, Y, and Z, right? Not a good thing. So then we've got another one that a lot of people hear too. Children are to be seen and not heard, or idle hands are the work of the devil. And I've seen artists, people that were just so gifted and talented, totally quit painting because they got in trouble because it wasn't considered work or positive work or adding to the world. And that's a horrible thing.
When I went to college initially, I remember my dad being a little startled at my choice of majors. I chose to major in anthropology, archaeology. And he was like, you're never going to make money at that. Why would you do that? And so even at that age, then I'm questioning, oh, what? Why would I do that? It's not okay. It's not good enough. It doesn't get me to that end that apparently I'm supposed to be getting to. Okay, so that's my goal, to make money. And that's, at that moment, what was sort of cemented. That's what life is about. You find a job to make money.
Right, right. We also have domestications about, there was a young woman who had a child, and the child came to her very nervously and said, Mommy, can I fold the laundry, or can I sweep? Can I do something? And she said, well, why? Well, because I want to watch a show with you. And she realized that she never sat still. And her daughter had picked up the fact that if she didn't help do chores, she didn't earn the right to watch a TV show with her mom. And that was really, when she realized that, it was just profound to her. And she stopped that immediately.
Yeah, to see that as a mirror reflection of your behavior, that's when life changes, right?
Totally. And it's important to realize that domestications were handed down. You know, we have basically the same ones for hundreds of years because we don't question our elders. Our parents didn't question what they were taught, and theirs didn't question what they were taught. And so we have generations of people who have handed down these things that don't really make sense anymore. Our world has changed drastically. My grandfather lived to be 102 years old, almost. I was shy by a few days. And when I think back to what he saw in his life, from horse and buggy days to men landing on the moon, right? Yeah. That's a lot of change. And yet, he still lived by the domestications that he was taught. You know, it gave my father, and, you know, he handed down to me. So if we can take a look at them and consciously make a choice.
My my dad and I had a great conversation one time, and it was in regard to roles, right, in a relationship. And he looked at me and said, I grew up in a different world, Michelle. He goes, I can't even give you advice at this point because things are so different. And I appreciated the wisdom in that, that he could look back and say, my experience doesn't fit this. I don't really know what's best at this point. And I appreciated just that honesty of it.
Oh, totally.
And his realization that things aren't always... even though we have an accumulation of experience, that doesn't mean we always have the answer for everything. And so being able to question things and come up with new beliefs, that was a moment for me where I appreciated being able to do that.
Yes, and you learned from it too.
Yes.
So some of them, you know, as we talked about, are great, but some of them no longer serve you or never did. So the wonderful thing is that you're no longer seven. You get to choose what is right for you, and if you really do believe them. So I invite you to take some time with yourself. Figure that out. Take each one of them. Write them down. On the next segment of the show, we're going to be talking about the first agreement you can make with yourself and how empowering it can be for you. For more information, check out our website at www.awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can find podcasts of our shows on our website and AM950's website, iTunes, wherever you get podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us on Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Served 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking. Or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, founder and chief at Habitation Furnishing and Design, and now I'd like to invite you to kill your Sunday evenings with me right here on AM 950 with Drink in the Style. It's a one-hour-long conversation of interior design, art, architecture, and pretty much anything else visual and aesthetic, all while enjoying some booze handcrafted by our friends at Mill Valley Kitchen. Can you think of a better way to spend Sunday evenings? Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m.
Join Seward Community Co-op for their annual owner meeting, featuring a dinner and presentation by Sean Sherman of the Sioux Chef, who works to make indigenous foods more accessible. Attend this year's annual owner meeting Tuesday, October 30th at the University of Minnesota's Kauffman Union to enjoy a meal designed by Sean Sherman of the Oglala Lakota Tribe and executed by Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe. Informed by the Sioux Chef's mission to re-identify what is recognized as North American food, the dinner will feature indigenous foods and ingredients native to this region. Expect fruit, vegetables, meat, foraged ingredients, and no sugar, wheat, or dairy. Seward Community Co-op is owned by their shoppers who are members of the community. Not an owner? Become one today by visiting customer service at the co-op. Benefits of ownership include exclusive deals, discounted classes, and 10% off your purchase once per quarter. All owners are invited to attend the annual owner meeting dinner. Tickets are $5 in advance and $15 at the door. Visit seward.coop to purchase your tickets for this exciting dinner now.
Robert Burrill here, host of the show Laughing Matters, brought to you as always by Stand Up Records. Check them out online at standuprecords.com. Laughing Matters is now on Saturdays from 7 to 8 p.m. and the show will be pre-taped, which means that I can swear and say words like and as always, it'll feature some of the funniest comedians in the Twin Cities talking about the latest news and current events, and it's an hour of nonstop laughs you won't want to miss. And it's only on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
As you know, I'm an animal lover, and you'd be surprised the mess just a tiny little chihuahua and guinea pig can manage to create. Thankfully, I call Zero Res to clean up the spots my critters leave on the carpeting. Their patented power water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Just call 952-ZERO-RES and tell them you're an AM 950 listener. And if you're looking for a new gig, they are now hiring. Go to the careers page on ZeroResMN.com for info. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forwards. It spells the same.
Reach for me like the petals of a rose blooming the season, gentle and slow. My body is the mountain, the ocean, the river, the sand and the snow. The life gives us a cold one now. My
friend. Speak to me, help me understand. Let us walk together. Take my hand and we will heal this land.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Connie Bjork.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. We just got done in the first segment talking about domestications, and now we're going to talk about the first agreement from the book of the Four Agreements, or a promise that you can make to yourself. No one else has to even know about them. And the first one is be impeccable with your word. So most people think that's okay, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to gossip, that type of thing. What he says is, it means to speak with integrity, say only what you mean, avoid using the word, to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. And yet he says that the most important thing here is not to use your own words against yourself. We all do this all the time. I can think of so many instances where I've heard people talk negatively about themselves. For instance, if you look in the mirror and you go, oh boy, another bad hair day. Or you do something and you think, oh my God, what a moron. These are not using your words in truth and love.
Yeah, in the yogic tradition, they have a word for it. It's called ahimsa. And it's the same concept about that self-talk and what you're saying to yourself can be harmful if it's not in love, in truth. And there's a difference between being honest with yourself and right. being hard on yourself.
Right. So this promise really means not saying anything that goes against yourself or judging or blaming yourself, right? I teach a concept that says no blame, no guilt, but take responsibility, okay? Blaming others or yourself doesn't do any good. Neither does guilt. They keep you stuck in the same thing, sort of like a car with wheels spinning. It doesn't move forward. But when we can sit back and take responsibility for the things in our life that we need to, it changes everything.
Ownership of our actions and our words.
Absolutely.
Right?
And letting the rest go. So, you know, we talk about words being so powerful, and they have the power to create with our thoughts, with our words, with the emotions behind them. We create our reality. So it's really important that we are consciously choosing what to think.
When I became a parent, this became a profound lesson for me. I read a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer called What Do You Really Want for Your Children? And he talked about something you had mentioned earlier in the domestications, the difference between calling your child bad when they do something,
yes.
like you're a bad girl, you're a bad boy, or stating the fact that that was not an acceptable behavior for what was done. And there's a huge difference in that if you sit back and look at it. How does that feel when someone calls you bad? It makes you feel like there's innately something wrong with you, which then starts that channel of negative self-talk sometimes. And then there's a difference of taking responsibility and understanding that your actions were maybe not up to par of what they could be in that situation.
Correct. And that book is really life-changing. I remember reading it for the first time, too, and it really helped me heal things from my own childhood. It was a really great book. You know, the word is the most powerful tool that we have as a human being, but it's sort of like a double-edged sword. You can use your word to create the most beautiful, wonderful relationships, concepts, businesses, whatever. But you can also use your word to destroy. One cutting word can totally destroy someone. And we've seen this in large, you know, in history. You can think of a person, I can right now, whose word totally destroyed and started a world war. You know, so our words are so important. We can use them impeccably to create love, to create beauty in the world. And depending upon how it's used, it either frees and liberates us or enslaves us. So our mind then is sort of like, if you think about it as being fertile ground for whatever we put in it, right? And so if we're putting in the good stuff, then the good things are going to grow. And there will not be room in your mind for negative thoughts.
And the research in neuroscience validates that
yes.
the more time we spend, the the number is actually, if every time something good happens and we spend 30 seconds of our time, even in our mind, validating the goodness, it changes the wiring of our brains. And so it becomes easier to think positive things about ourselves, to say positive things about ourselves, to have that internal dialogue of that feels better to us and propels us forward rather than kind of drags us down.
Right. And when your brain is wired a certain way, every single thought that you think has to move through that hard wiring, right? So if your brain has been hardwired for a long time about negative thoughts or depression, every thought that you think has to move through that brain that is hardwired for that type of thought pattern. So it's really important to keep your thoughts
correct. So every time you do the work that reinforces the positive, it's easier to then flip the perception of what's happening, to look at it differently and to see it from a positive vent versus negative.
Right. If you are interested in trying to be more positive, there's one thing that we teach a lot about too, and that is keeping a joy journal. It is, again, just a little book that you keep, little tiny diary kind of a thing, and for 15 minutes a day focusing on that positive feeling of joy. What brings you joy? Not in any order. You're not putting them on the top, you know, one, two, going
to
10.
Yeah.
It's just thinking. And sometimes if you're in a very sad, going through some things, you might not be able to think about what brings you joy. It's okay to go back to your childhood, swinging on a swing set, going down the slide, reading, music. Usually with spending 5 minutes with somebody, you can kind of guess what would be on their joy list.
Dancing, hobbies.
Oh, yeah.
The list can be extensive. It's taking the time again to create it.
Yes.
And not necessarily sitting down when you're not feeling well, but sitting down when you are feeling well to put those things down so you have it when you need it.
Absolutely.
The most.
And the practice of doing that every single day then builds up that positive chemistry and the chemicals in your brain. And it gets your mind rewiring. The synapses connect in a different pattern. And so then all of your thoughts that you think move through a brain that is hardwired for joy. The other thing that I'd really encourage everyone to do is every day think, you know, what can I do right now that will make me feel better? And a lot of times, you know, maybe it's, you know, you want to go antiquing, you want to go to that car show, you want to do something good for yourself, or you just want to take a bath with Epsom salts or, you know, whatever it is. So it's really important to every single day do something for yourself that will make yourself feel better. If you don't know, look in the joy journal and figure it out.
It's called self-care.
Absolutely. And we put ourselves last on any list, right?
Yes.
We're so busy taking care of everyone else. And sometimes if we're really down and not feeling well, it's really hard to come up with something that you want to do. And making another decision is just overwhelming. And that's when you can open up the book, point to something, and just do it. Skiing, whatever. On the next segment of the show, we're going to be talking about two more promises that you can keep to yourself. For more information, check out our website at awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can find podcasts of our shows on our website, AM950's website, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining us here on Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. We're glad you joined us, and we hope you come back.
Standard Heating knows some things never get old for us Minnesotans. The fall colors, s'mores, and football tailgating. But some things like your furnace do get old, and that can mean higher heating bills. Fortunately, you can save $1,300 on a new high-efficiency furnace from Standard Heating and help cut your heating bills. Learn more about saving $1,300 on your new furnace at standardheatingdeals.com. Don't wait. These savings end October 31st. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Comfort you deserve.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary, products and services since 1977.
If you're someone that counts on AM 950 to bring you the latest in progressive politics, news, and talk, remember, we can't do it alone. Support our many great advertisers and let them know you heard about their business on AM 950. If you don't know who to talk to, simply write AM 950 on your receipt. AM 950 is supported by small, local businesses, so you're not only helping us and those businesses, but our local economy as well. For a complete list of our sponsors, log on to am950radio.com.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly cloudy with a high near 56, and tonight, some rain before 1 a.m. with a low around 43. And Monday, partly sunny with a high of 59 and a low around 43. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Cafe Latte. Cafe Latte is a gourmet cafeteria with an ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soup. Plus, their bakery specializes in fresh breads and desserts. Check them out at the intersection of Victoria and Grand in St. Paul.
I'm Connie Bierick.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. Today we're talking about promises that you can make to yourself that the author Don Miguel Ruiz wrote back in 1997 that still hold true today. We discussed the first one in the last segment, and now we're going to move into the second, which is don't take anything personally.
This is the one I struggle with the most.
I think most people do. This is probably the most challenging one for everyone. It's really important to know and understand and remember that nothing others do is because of you. Wow. Right? What others say and do is a projection of their life, their reality. And when you're immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be a victim to endless, needless suffering. There's a book that came out many years ago, which I didn't know it was a book. And it says, what others think of you is none of your business.
Or your opinion of me is none of my business.
Right. It's somebody else's issue. Yes. It's their opinion. That's all. So this is really about personal importance, which is taking things personally. And it could be looked at the ultimate expression of selfishness if you think that everything's about you, right? When we're young, again, before the age of 7, right? Everything really is about you, right? Your little world, your parents.
It's your child friends. Psychology. It's part of our development. It's like right. The world does revolve around us for a while until we start realizing, oh, there's more going on than just me.
Right. And as we mature, hopefully our perspectives and our awareness matures too. So nothing anyone else ever does, anything that they ever do, is about you. It's their own thing.
And I think that in and of itself is a challenging concept, right? But it goes back to those domestications. Sometimes we do things because we learn to do them that way, or we do things because of habit. And so being able to step back and look and say, someone isn't intentionally doing that to me.
Right.
And I think sometimes that concept is easier when it comes when we look at ourselves and our actions towards others. Our intentions aren't necessarily that we're trying to do something to someone, right? We're moving through life acting from our experience, acting from our beliefs. And it's not necessarily a conscious thought of doing something to someone.
Right. Everyone's just moving through the world the best that they can. But when we make an assumption, right, and we take something personally, we assume that they know what's going on inside of our minds. They don't.
I also, just from my perspective, think it's easier to do with strangers versus people that you truly know. Because you're not necessarily a part of their life, you can stand back and say, they've just got their own stuff going on. I see that. Or we know from our own perspectives, I just have my own stuff going on. And it's much easier to say, don't take it personally, because I'm feeling a certain way today. And that's why I'm acting a certain way today. However, you turn that around and you're on the receiving end, trying to remember that from your own perspective becomes a little more challenging.
It does. If you feel like you constantly have to defend yourself and your beliefs, or have to always make yourself right, it's usually stemming from that taking everything personally. And what happens is people touch your wounds that you haven't healed by what they say. And you take what they say personally, and it opens those wounds.
That's a pretty profound statement to me, knowing we have our own wounds, right? That there are things we've been hurt by, and that can be triggered. And some of us move through life a little unconsciously at times.
Yes.
And forget that.
Right. Yeah.
Forget we've had those experiences that shape how we are actually seeing and perceiving things in this moment.
Yes. So it's imperative that we really learn how not to take things personally. And remember that our point of view, our opinions, are just that. They're something personal to us. And they're no one else's truth but ours.
But my opinion seems to matter more.
I'm so glad you admitted that. That's really... Yeah. It's important to think about, you know, what plays over and over in your mind. Are you taking things personally? Again, we go back to ruminating over things, conversations that you've had with someone that have hurt you. Does it do you any good to sit and think about that and take that personally? We set up ourselves for suffering for nothing. So we need to learn to trust ourselves, which can be pretty intense, right? Otherwise, we set ourselves up time and time again for suffering. The point is to choose you. Remember that you're the expert on you. You get to choose what you believe. You get to choose to not take something that someone said or did personally, even if it's somebody really close to you. And if you can do that, you know, even just doing the first agreement and the second, 75% of the negative things in your life will disappear.
And I think the other thing with taking things personally is when you do, that throws you into that cycle of drama.
Oh, yes.
Right? There's a lot of elements to that, but I have to be right here. Or, again, it goes back to that you start blaming someone for maybe something they've done when, again, it wasn't really about you.
No. He goes on to say that even to the point of someone shooting you, it has nothing to do with you. It is really about their own issues that they have not dealt with and healed. That's a pretty profound statement.
Absolutely.
So now we're going to go on to the third one, not making assumptions. Oh boy. So not making assumptions means finding the courage to really ask questions, to dig deeper so that you know the truth. And communicating, this is where that, you know, that patterning came along about a decade ago of mirroring what someone says. Someone tells you something and you'll say, okay, if I'm understanding you correctly, this is what you said. And it's all about trying to make your communication clearer and so that you can avoid drama, what we just talked about. And with this one agreement, you can completely transform your life.
Keyword, communication.
Oh, absolutely. We make assumptions. We believe that they're true. We take it personally. We react with emotional poison, and then we defend ourselves. And we create drama for nothing, right?
A good way that I remember this one is in relationships when you maybe hear a man complain, she expected me to read her mind. Right? When we really know someone, it's as though we expect them to know what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we need in that moment. And then when they don't, we get upset about it.
Right.
And then we react to it versus having that element of communication and talking about it and actually saying, I need this, instead of having the expectation that they already know. Because sometimes we don't even have those underlying conversations of what's meaningful to you, what do you believe?
Yes.
And because of this one agreement, we just assume that if we connect with someone, that they must believe the way we do or think the way we do. And that's not true.
Or if you've been with them forever, great story about someone who's really a couple that really mastered this in a good way, my aunt and uncle. I've told this story many times because I'm still over just like, whoa, they are so cool. After my father passed away, I went to visit them, and they had been married for over 60 years. So they were in their 80s. Great couple, right? And my uncle said something, and my aunt turned to him and said, I didn't know that about you, dear. And he goes, oh, you didn't? Oh, yeah. Well, I thought I had mentioned that at some point. And they had their own little private conversation going on. And I'm sitting there watching this fabulous relationship and communication. And I'm thinking, she didn't respond like, oh, after all these years, are you withholding things from me? Why didn't I know about this earlier than this? You know, so many times people get defensive and that
take it personally.
Yes. And yet, and every single day, we talked about it later, you know, they tried, even being married 60 some years, they tried to find new things about each other. What if we all did that? You know, it's like hunting for gold, isn't it?
And having your life filled with surprises. And hopefully surprises would be a good thing in that situation.
Absolutely. So we have a fear of being ourselves, right? And we have made the assumption that everyone sees life the same way that we do and reacts from there. And this is just so not true. It's about making ourselves right again and creating that inner conflict sometimes. So we need to really be honest with ourselves, not make assumptions even about ourselves, because half the time the things we assume about ourselves aren't even true.
Correct. Or it's due to that self-talk.
Oh, boy.
Right? Like, I'm stupid or I'm not good at this. Well, have you ever actually tried to do that?
Yes.
Right? Or maybe you did it once and you weren't that good at it. That doesn't mean you're not going to get better over time if you keep practicing. I have this conversation with my daughter often where she gets upset because she's not good at something right away, so she assumes she can't do it.
Yes.
And after then she tries a few times or gets a little, gets her feet underneath her, gets her toes wet, I'm not sure what the, and she finds she actually likes it. And there are elements of it that she is good at, but it just takes time. So.
Yeah. Sometimes we really expect ourselves to be experts on everything right away, and that isn't true. So it's important then to really ask questions, to learn how to listen too. So many times people are asking questions, but then they're thinking about what they're going to say next. And they, you know, the other part of communication is we ask the questions, but we need to really listen well so that we can hear and we can understand.
It is easy to try to anticipate what the rest of someone's going to say and then figure out what you're going to respond to. And that actually takes away from the actual truth of what that person's saying, or more so the actual truth of what's inside of you. If you're trying to develop something to say, it's not going to be something maybe that's genuine in that moment that might have come out otherwise had you heard them through.
And we all know people that do the one-upmanship kind of a thing. You know, well, that's nothing. You should hear this. And they're thinking about their next really great story that they're going to tell you. So it's important also then as an individual to find your voice, to be able to know and understand yourself well enough so that you do know what you want in a relationship, that you have the courage to ask for what you want. There's a book, another book called The Five Love Languages.
It's a great book also.
Yes. And where you learn what your love language is. What do you need to feel loved? And you also learn what your partner or your daughter or your son, anyone in your life, what their love language might be. It might be filling gas on your car versus you might feel, I need to be told.
So there's I need to be hugged.
Right. So if you can do these things, you can experience emotional poison in your life. As it diminishes and vanishes entirely, you're going to no longer need to make assumptions because everything will be so much more clear because you take the time to really ask. On the next segment of the show, we're going to be talking about the last one. For more information, check out our website at awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can find podcasts of our shows on our website, on AM950's website, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hello, humans. It's Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many know that I have a diversity and inclusion company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I want to share about a speaking event I'll be hosting on Monday, November 5th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Open Book in Minneapolis. I'll be giving my gray area thinking talk on how to be welcoming to humans. I'd love for you to join me. Go to elliekrug.com and look for the Human is Human public events page for more. Please come and please tell others. See you then!
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we don't add a thing, just 100% pure turkey. Reserve your free range Thanksgiving turkey today for pickup at our store right on the farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our metro retail partners. Visit us at ferndalemarket.com for more information or to reserve your turkey today.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We interview Charles Pierce, who is one of the most astute liberal bloggers in America. He writes for Esquire.com. He's got a very handy Twitter site with 100,000 followers. We get caught up on all the hot political items of the day. And also, is there such a thing as a blue wave? Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
The local advertisers you hear on AM 950 are the lifeblood of the station. If you find yourself regularly tuning in, or if you appreciate the diversity of content we deliver, please take the time to support our advertisers. Even if it's just to thank them for backing AM 950, your voice and support can go a long way. Help keep the station going strong while investing in our local community. Find the complete list of on-air supporters by visiting the advertisers page at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Good morning and welcome to Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bjerk.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. If you desire to live a life that is more than what you are currently experiencing, if you feel stuck, are experiencing health concerns, or are curious about ways to improve your life, the show will give you new perspectives and steps to change your life. Today, we've been talking about the four promises or agreements that you can make with yourself to change your life for the better. We're glad you're here with us today. And the last one is always do your best. Okay, so this one we can get into trouble with too, because we set that bar so high. Imagine your arm lifting above your head and as high as your fingers can reach, that's the bar that you set. And you leave it there, right? It doesn't change height, whether you're sick, whether you're feeling emotions like jealousy or anger. If you're having an off day or if you're really on, that bar is there and it's stuck there. And that's unrealistic.
It's that notion of we're our own worst critics. Totally. And that's why, because we never allow that to fluctuate.
That's right. So we have to realize that, you know, every moment of our life is different. It's constantly an ebb and a flow, and our feelings change as we move through them. When we're sick, our best is going to be a very different story. That bar is not going to be that high. And in fact, you wouldn't even have to go over it in a limbo contest. You could just walk right over it, right? We need to be gentle with ourselves. We need to be kind to ourselves. Keeping in mind that everything changes from moment to moment, how do you feel about this? Are you kind to yourself? Are you hard on yourself? Do you need to really focus some energy and attention and awareness on this? It's interesting how our emotions play such an important part of doing our best. It's, you know, easy to do our best when we're feeling on the top of the world and everything's going right. Somebody yesterday said, you know, success breeds success, but if I have a few failures, then I tend to go in a downward spiral. If you know and understand, from what I know in my practice with people, is that everyone is always doing their best. We all are. The problem lies in the fact that we believe that that bar is where we need to be, when in reality, we just can't hit it all the time. So kindness, doing some self-care, realizing that I know this to be true, that you are in every moment doing the best that you can with the information that you have at the time. And how you're feeling in your body, how you're feeling when maybe you've gotten bad news. All of these things affect doing your best.
I think that when people say hindsight is 20/20, is telling of this agreement. We look back and we say, oh, I could have done this, or I could have done this. And the issue with that is you're making that, you're analyzing that based on what you know now. And the experiences you've had between that moment, be it 10 years ago or 5 days ago, and what you have now, or how you're feeling, you know, were you sick that day? Were you not feeling your best? Were you anxious? Maybe you had a hangover, right?
Or maybe you were given the wrong information.
Correct. And now you're looking at that maybe from your best self, because you are feeling, you've had some successes, you're feeling good, you're feeling positive. And you go back and you look at that, of course, you're going to have a list of all these things that you could have done better, yes, right, for yourself. But it's not what the truth was in that moment. It's not what your experiences had led you to believe in that moment to make that choice for whatever that decision might have been.
So instead of thinking about this as a bar that you're going to set really high, if we know and understand that it needs to ebb and flow, just like the energy of our days, right? We have more energy sometimes, we have less others.
Right. And you had mentioned that failure, right? Someone using failure.
Yes.
Well, if we look at every moment, and this is something that we teach in the clinic as well, that every moment is a learning experience for us. And because that bar does, it's an ebb and flow, which is life. Life just ebbs and flows. And looking at those things as learning situations and not judging ourselves for it or looking at it as a failure, but as a chance to increase our awareness, our chance to make a different choice the next time and use those to create more of what we feel are successes in life. That's a huge difference than looking back and regretting, or looking at things as though it should have been different because of what you know in this moment.
Right. And as we mature over time, our best will become better, just because we are hopefully using the four agreements, making these choices to better ourselves and our life.
And I think even when that happens, when you do have those low points, which could be because of life situations, maybe you go through a divorce, maybe someone you know dies, right? And you don't feel, you feel like maybe you've taken a step back in that personal growth in that area. That's not true either, right? Because you're still at a different level than you might have been a year ago having to go through that same experience. And so sometimes giving ourselves a little more credit on a daily basis for the things that we're going through and how we're experiencing them.
Yes. There's a part that he talks about that I think is really important. Doing your best, no more, no less. And if you do more than your best, you will spend more energy than it is needed. And in the end, your best won't be enough. Whoa, right? When you overdo, you deplete your body and you go against yourself, and it will take you longer to accomplish your goals. Boy, I've met some people recently that are going through this, right? Yeah. If you do less than your best, you subject yourself to frustration, guilt, regrets, all the things that you mentioned, Michelle. So that's really an important thing, not to go above and beyond.
He also mentions that doing your best is done because you're doing it in love.
Yes.
And not for a reward. There's no expectation, no attachment to the outcome, but just doing it because you're showing up and you want to be present and being your best self in that moment.
Right. So that's all about self-acceptance, right? Learning to love yourself, becoming more deeply aware of who you are, what you believe. And being you then becomes easier. You can be more fully you in everything that you do.
I think there are moments when we're around people, and that's an uncomfortable feeling, being yourself with certain people.
Yes.
And not feeling like you can show who you truly are on the inside. So maybe putting up some walls or using some protective mechanisms. And the more we can become authentic to ourselves, the easier it is to be that in the world as well.
Absolutely. And then it comes to the point of letting go of the past, loving yourself enough to let go of the past. Three questions for you. What time is it? Now. Where are you? Here. Who are you? That's your answer. You get to answer that. These three questions and their answers will help you live life more centered and to the fullest. Join us this next Saturday. We're going to talk about beliefs, conscious and unconscious, that you've accepted to be true even though they are not founded in reality. You've been listening to the Awakened Living Infusion radio show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.